give everybody the rundown on Consumer Guide Automotive and tell them a little bit of a background and stuff, and then we'll we are opening up the phone lines and the text lines to you guys for any and all automotive-related questions at 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Tom.
Sure, yeah. Consumer Guide Automotive, we've been around since 1967. I am only the second publisher. Just the same group of great guys have been running this thing for a long, long time. All of our new car and used car reviews live at consumerguide.com. All of our fun stuff, our in-depth drives, our weak attempts at humor, and our forays into really old and classic cars live at our blog. You can get to there from consumerguide.com or go directly there at cgdailydrive.com.
Right. And, you know, all that kind of stuff is what we're going to cover here. We got some automotive news stories to talk about, some of the things that you guys have put up on the website, and we'll find out what you've been driving and all of that and more. And, of course, answer the listeners' questions, automotive related at 312-981-7200. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, buddy. Tom Appel is with us. He joins us once a month to talk cars and automotive stuff. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. All right. How's everybody doing? Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. You're 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in. Skip Skipley will be here a little bit later on. We're going to talk about Chicagoisms, things that only happen here, things that only people from Chicago do, and much more. My lovely crew here got me some stuff for my birthday, which is this Friday, but I won't be on the air because I'm taking the rest of the week off, so we're going to do a little fun with that, and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and any and all automotive and car-related questions, get them in now. Tom's here live, so text or call now, 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is with us, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, and we welcome Tom back. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, I always like to ask what you've been driving lately. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, a big surprise to me. Toyota has redesigned the Corolla, a vehicle I've always found to be a little bit dull and uninteresting. But for 2019, the vehicle gets a nice hatchback, and it is an entirely transformed vehicle. It rides better. It is quieter. It's a little bit more fun to drive, a little bit more like a Volkswagen. Interestingly, this new hatchback gives up some rear seat space and some cargo space in the name of a style and sportiness, but I really liked it a lot. And it's a fabulous color. Toyota calls it Rival Blue, and it's kind of a neon-y blue that you can see from a mile away. I've got pictures of it on my Twitter feed, but I'm surprised by how much I like this car.
Wow, that's great. Corolla, one of my exes had a Corolla. And I drove it. And it was fine. Yeah. What was it about that you weren't crazy about the old version of the Corolla and now the difference between this one and that one?
Yeah, the old Corolla was kind of a safety vehicle. If you bought one, I would never try and talk you out of it. They were known for being reliable, they got good mileage, and they made fairly good use of space. But then the dynamics were really dull. The handling wasn't there. The engine was kind of crude. It was a little bit noisy on the highway. A lot of stuff there that really not acceptable for a car in that class. But, you know, people were so used to buying Corollas and so used to the reliability.
Yeah.
And the excellent resale value, that it just became a repetitive process. If you owned a Corolla, you bought another Corolla.
That's funny. I mean, you're absolutely right. I like that you just bought another one. That's just the way it was. Wow. Okay, outside of the new Corolla, what else have you driven lately that you wanted to report on?
I am in the all-new Volkswagen Jetta right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this is an interesting vehicle because it got much larger. So it is a compact sedan, and it's about the size, or it was about the size of a Civic, Honda Civic, but it just feels bigger now, and it looks bigger. It's somewhere between compact and mid-size now. I like it. I'm not thrilled with the base engine, which is not new to the Jetta line, but now it's standard. It's a 1.4-liter. Volkswagen calls it their FSI engine, and it might be just a little bit underpowered for American tastes, but nice car.
Is it the one? Is this the model that you're driving right now? Is that the one that they currently are doing the ad campaign with? You better get a Jetta.
Yes.
So it looks like a cool car, though. I mean, you know, at least on the commercials, visually, it's attractive and it looks pretty cool. And they're doing a nice job, I think, with the advertising on it.
Yeah, no, the styling is really hip and new, and the interior is very tidy, and it looks good. It's a classy little ride, and certainly more fun versions are on the horizon. Mm-hmm. We just haven't seen them yet.
Okay. What else around the office have people been driving that they liked or you would want to mention?
We just got today, and I can't believe how quickly people went to sign up for this one, the Honda Civic Type R. This is the hottest version of the Civic, crammed full of a 2-liter turbocharged engine. Absolute blast to drive, and just all sorts of fun on a racetrack. So we've got one through the office. It remains largely practical as a Civic, except that it's much quicker, much better handling, and has these ridiculous sports seats that mean I'm not going to drive it for any distance because they're just far too confining.
Well, you know, the Civic has always been, I mean, is that Honda's biggest seller? Is that the one?
It has been for years. It's either been the Civic, the Accord, but right now it's the CRV because everyone's going cross.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, the Civic, though, has been around for a really long time. It's funny, another one of my exes had a Civic, so I don't know what we're talking. So I had the occasion to drive that car as well. And Civics, you see those things all over the road.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And they're popular in the Chicago area.
Yeah. All right.
And as far as like when you guys do your test drives and stuff, how often do you post test drives?
As soon as we can get to them. So every vehicle comes in. We try to get 4 editors through it. We usually succeed at getting 3, but we will never get fewer than 2 drivers through a vehicle, so we have a more balanced impression of the vehicle. And new reviews go up, 2 or 3 of them go up every week.
Mm-hmm. And how often do they really differ? Like one guy really didn't enjoy the ride, another guy really did?
You know, right now, our senior editor Damon and I are at odds over this new Corolla. I love it. I love this new Corolla.
Yeah.
And he's just all sort of pouty right now about the small rear seat and the lack of cargo space, which are completely legitimate arguments.
Right.
But I think that the way that consumers are going these days, if you're not looking for a crossover, you're probably not looking for that kind of space. You might find this the perfect vehicle.
And by the way, you do big and tall reviews of the vehicle. Explain how that is to our audience.
Yeah, the guy I just mentioned, Damon, is 6'6".
You guys are all big.
Yeah, we're all huge. And I'm over 300 pounds, so I'm our big guy. So
yeah.
Damon and I come up with a letter grade specifically for the front row and specifically the driver's seat.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah. There you go. And you can find all of that at Consumer Guide. So, all right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. We're talking all things automotive related. We got a lot of car news to talk about and to take your calls and your texts related to anything cars. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break. We got the news coming up next and more with Tom on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how are you? We're here until 5 a.m. and we're live. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Right now we're talking with Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive, and he can answer any and all of your car and automotive-related questions. Text or call right now at 312-981-7200. Coming up after 2 o'clock, Lindsey Cochran's going to join us from Great Moments in Vinyl. They got a couple of gigs coming up celebrating the music of the Rolling Stones and of Led Zeppelin. And we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Chicagoanisms. And my crew was nice enough to get some stuff. And we're going to celebrate my birthday a little bit because my birthday is this week, but I'll be off for the rest of the week. And Skip Skipley's on the way. And we're playing For the Record. All of that and more, 312-981-7200. It's also 2 for Tuesday. Get your request in for that, too. Tom Appel is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We got a call here that a caller has a question, okay?
Okay.
All right. Here's Joe on WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Dan helped me condense what I gave him a long preamble, saying it's not Tom's bailiwick, whatever. But he said, you know, he might be giving some advice regarding when to buy a car. I'm looking at the proposed tariffs, steel and aluminum, whatever. So I need a car this year. And Tom's given me some previously good advice. I'm looking at the Chevy Equinox. But normally what? June, July, August is when they started introducing the 19s. Is that correct?
It really depends on the manufacturer. There used to be kind of a line in the sand where it was more like September.
Oh, okay.
Now they come in a little bit earlier, but that's not always true. It depends on how a vehicle is selling. But the later you can wait for a particular model year, the better you could probably get a deal on that vehicle. The downside of that is that the selection of those vehicles starts to slip away. So it's sort of a careful watching what's available, looking at dealer lots, and trying to figure out when the new ones are kicking in, because it's different for every vehicle. But if you can wait towards the end of the year, and if you can wait towards the end of the month, you can get the best possible deal.
Gotcha. One other question. You know, that prompts another question. You know, I'm old enough to remember when you could order a car.
Yes.
What are the color, the seats, whatever. How much of the market is ordered from a car dealer nowadays? 5%, 10, nothing?
That's a great question, and the answer is surprisingly little. Not manufacturers, but dealers stock a lot of cars, and those cars that they stock, they're paying interest on. Those are floor plan. That's the industry word for the financing that goes on when you see cars on a lot. So for every car that sits there, you know, if it sits there for a month, they're paying interest again on that vehicle. Mm-hmm. So they're really keen to move the vehicles that they have on the lot. Typically, if you want to order a very specific vehicle, you have to do it early in the year, so there's time to get it built, shipped to you. But a lot of dealers would really prefer that you just buy what they have on hand.
Okay. All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Hope that helps out. Thank you for the call. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Okay, Tom, it's now our monthly we have to mention Tesla.
Yes.
For our monthly story about Tesla. They build a giant tent to ramp up their Model 3 production.
This is one of my favorite stories of the year.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is the craziest story of the year. So Tesla has been promising for a considerable period of time that they would get production of the Model 3, that's their new compact sedan,
mm-hmm.
that's the car that was supposed to be $35,000, that they were going to get production up to 5,000 units a month. And they'd really hoped to do that sometime last year. That didn't happen. They had all sorts of production snafus trying to go to this sort of mass production. And it hasn't happened yet this year. It happened finally last week. And part of the reason that it happened was because Tesla built a gigantic tent outside of their factory and set up a second assembly line in the tent.
Oh, my God.
Near as I can tell, they produced about 1,000 vehicles in the tent and about 4,000 vehicles in the factory, and they hit their 5,000 unit target.
That's crazy.
It is absolutely nuts.
Now, in addition to building this giant tent and manufacturing, did they have to hire more people? Did Musk have to go out and hire more people?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that, but I suspect they had to bring in at least some extra.
Yeah.
Because it was a separate line. So I'm going to assume they did, yeah.
Now, some people are saying that this is, one expert in particular called it insanity. What? Where do you fall in on that?
It is insanity, but Elon Musk has got this habit of sort of doing everything he can to prove people wrong, and no one thought he was ever going to hit 5,000 units. Now, he's talking about hitting 6,000 units by the end of next month. That's probably not going to happen because this tent thing cannot be a permanent situation.
Right. And where is it located? Is it right outside?
It seems to be right outside the factory, yeah. This is their Fremont, California factory that they had purchased from Toyota some years ago.
That's great. Now, in addition to that, I mean, it brings up a story that you wrote called Dancing on Tesla's Grave.
Yeah.
Why are so many members of the automotive media rooting for Tesla to fail? What did you wrote that piece. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, increasingly I'm seeing a certain amount of hostility. Mostly in social media, not as much in actual published work, but more in social media towards Tesla. And I completely understand how Elon Musk has wrinkled the nerves of people watching this happen, because he does not play by standardized rules. He says things that he doesn't keep promises that any other auto executive would be expected to keep. So there's just a lot going on there that would upset people. But on the other hand, Tesla has done some amazing things. And one of the reasons I wrote this piece is because I'm really concerned that Tesla is nearing the end of its functional existence.
Yeah.
And this is because the federal tax credits, the $7,500 credit that people get for purchasing a vehicle that they can take off their taxes, are about to run out for Tesla.
Mm.
And this is an interesting point for two reasons. One, they're going to somehow have to deal with the fact that their cars just suddenly became $7,500 more expensive. But secondly, I think it's worth noting that Tesla became the first company to do this in America. I mean, there's something to be said for being the first company to sell 200,000 electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of getting lost in this. It's impossible to call Tesla a failure because they've accomplished so much.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But also, talking about this, Tom, you're saying that Tesla's future is in jeopardy, probably. But then, you're talking about Elon Musk as a guy who thinks out of the box and thinks kind of crazily out of the box. While that's happening, the numbers don't look so good for Tesla.
Right.
He went and just built a giant tent and and another.
Right.
This is the way this guy works. Has anybody ever sat down? Has there ever been any kind of long interview with this guy just about the Tesla part, not the space part?
There is. I found that the interviews that I've read with him aren't very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the depths of his mind are difficult to plumb.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
and he's a feisty lad. And I think that he's got a chip on his shoulder about this whole thing. And I don't think he's going to give up the ship willingly. But the money part of this doesn't work anymore. And I just don't know how they're going to sell the Model 3, which was a vehicle that was supposed to be $35,000. The average vehicle they've been building costs more like $43,000. When that becomes a $50,000 car, it just isn't viable as an entry-level product,
right.
And that's what people put deposits down on.
Right. It's funny, you talk about how there's a lot of negativity about Tesla, mostly on social media, and that's not surprising. That's where most of the negativity of things really comes from, the safeness of social media.
That is true, and that is the easiest place to be snarky. So,
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I root for the guy. I like him.
I'm so happy that there's a startup American car brand that I would love to see it work.
Yeah. And on the space side, he makes me happy, too. I mean, I love what he's doing there, too. So, I don't know. All right. Let's talk a little bit about zombie cars. Now, this zombie cars, to me, sounds like a movie I'd like to rent. But it's a real term. It's a real thing. Explain what that is. I mean, it's good for consumers, but it's not for automakers.
Right. Zombie cars, and it's a great term, and people are going to be disappointed a little bit when they think
yeah.
what this actually is.
Yeah.
But zombie cars are models that are expiring, essentially. And this is a word right now that's being used a lot because Ford has announced the end of a number of sedan models. But what they don't have yet are end dates, so we don't have end dates on these. But a zombie is a vehicle in its last model year, and a manufacturer has to decide how they want to phase this vehicle out. And often what you'll get is a really weird mix of the product towards the end, where a lot of them are white with a certain interior and just one drivetrain option.
Mm.
And they'll build out a lot of these things. And if you're looking for just that car, you might be able to get a great deal because they don't want these to sit around for too long.
Yeah.
Because it's been discontinued. It's there's an expiration date on these products. So there's this fantastic tap dance that takes place at the end of a car's run. Chrysler, for example, when they had to get rid of 200s, which was a sedan that they discontinued, I think it was three or four models a year now, ended up pushing an awful lot of them into rental fleets for very short periods of time.
Oh, yeah.
So you're seeing cars at CarMax that were Chrysler 200s at CarMax with 1, 2, or 3,000 miles on them.
Wow.
And then priced accordingly. They were really good deals if you wanted one.
Well, what happens? What's the automaker's take on this?
It depends on the automaker. I think in the case of Ford, they're not going to overproduce these, so I don't think there's going to be screaming good deals on these.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, so you look for a zombie car, but that's really crazy. A CarMax for 1,000, 3,000 miles on a car?
Yeah, you see that sometimes when just a manufacturer wants to hit sales numbers one month and they just push a bunch of things into a rental fleet and they show up 3, 4, 6 months later with almost no miles on it at CarMax or someplace like that.
How do people find that? I mean, is there a certain period of time when those things happen, when they push cars with low mileage out to CarMax and places like that?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not aware that there's a schedule to it. There might be some finesse to it, but I'm not aware of what that is.
Okay, because that would be people would want to. I think if they were looking for something, they would want to keep their eye out for that possibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Zombie cars. If I'm not mistaken, John Voight's in that one. So I don't know. So there was an article here where. It was just a series of questions, and I was reading this, and it's the first one is, are front ends of new cars too low or parking blocks too high? Now, how common a problem is this, Tom?
It is increasingly a problem.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's something that's been happening slowly over time, but what's happening is not that the the blocks are getting higher. It's that the front of your car is actually getting a little bit lower. But it's not the fascia. It's not the painted part. It's just a little lip underneath the bumper that's getting deeper and deeper, this to move air from out from underneath the car. Mm. As manufacturers strive to improve fuel economy, one of the last great places where they can improve aerodynamics is underneath the vehicle. And you have vehicles like the Mazda 6, which actually has a certain amount of panels and fascias underneath the car to duct air underneath it and to reduce resistance. That's a little bit extreme, but the deeper lip underneath the front bumper, that's increasingly popular.
And that's really, you know, people are really slamming it onto the curb.
They are, and it sounds horrible when it happens, but you probably haven't done any damage.
Oh, okay. Well, you still don't want to do it, though.
You don't want to do it, but it's a very flexible piece. Most people can't see it. And even if you ripped it off, it probably wouldn't matter that much. But no, you don't want to do that.
You don't want... No, you don't want to do that. another question comes from an old school guy who says it seems like spin balancing tires is going the way of the rotary phone. What's going on there?
Wow, I don't... Spin balancing. I used to actually do that as part of my job at a service.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Part of the reason that spin balancing might be going away, and I don't know that that's actually the case, is simply that tires and wheels are better built than they used to be. Because you used to have to balance a tire just to find a heavy spot. What would happen more in the tire than in the wheel is that there'd just be some spot where there was more rubber and more weight, and that could upset the alignment while you're driving, and you could actually end up with like a vibration from a wheel that wasn't properly balanced, and that's very rare these days.
Yeah. So spin balancing, that's so that but that means still it's still done, correct?
If you buy a set of new tires from a reputable dealer, they do still balance the tires. I don't know that if you get like a tire fixed or a flat fixed, if people even consider remembering to do that, but right. They should.
Okay. All right, great. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can go to consumerguide.com. You can check out cgdailydrive.com as well for more information. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have a question or a concern about cars or automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200. Call or text right now, and we'll come back more with Tom after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and how are you? We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and my man Steve Cochran is here at 6, coming up right here on WGN, so stay tuned for that. Coming up after 2 o'clock, after the 2 o'clock news, my good friend Lindsay Cochran is going to join us from Great Moments in Vinyl. They got two shows coming up. One celebrating the world of the Rolling Stones and one celebrating Led Zeppelin. We'll give you all the details on when and where those shows are and talk with Lindsay about them and the musicians that will be playing with him and all kinds of cool stuff. We're also going to be talking about Chicagoanisms, and Skip Skipley is on the way, and we'll have another edition of For the Record. Right now, we are talking with our good friend Tom Appel, publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, and we welcome Tom back. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Tell everybody about the newsletter that they can get at Consumer Guide.
Yeah, shoot me an email. You can just go to consumerguide.com where it says contact us. You can just say, I want to be on the email blast. Every Tuesday morning, I'll be doing this tomorrow morning, I send out an update of all the stuff that we covered in the last week on our blog. Mm-hmm. I also include links to the podcast of this visit when that's applicable. So that's every Tuesday morning.
Every Tuesday morning, check it out. And you can check it out at consumerguide.com. Get the newsletter going right there. All right. We have a text that just came in, Tom.
Okay.
From John, who says, thinking about buying a Mitsubishi SUV electric / gas 2018 model, but heard the company is on the way out from a Chevy dealer. Would it be a good deal?
That is a new vehicle for 2018. This is the Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. That's actually what's called PHEV.
Okay.
And this is the Outlander that has about 20 miles of range if you plug it in. We just had one through the office. We got pretty good mileage with it. And I don't think it's selling especially well, so deals can probably head on the vehicle. The odds of Mitsubishi pulling out of the United States are not exactly slim. However, Mitsubishi is now in the loving hands of the Nissan-Renault partnership, has an infusion of cash, and it increasingly looks like Renault-Nissan is interested in keeping Mitsubishi in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
But even if they were to pull out, because Nissan and Renault will still be here in some form, your warranty and your parts accessibility would all exist. I would not be worried about buying a Mitsubishi product.
Okay, there you go, John. So no need to worry. You know, the CG Daily Drive blog posts that you guys put up are so many of them are a lot of fun. And the one I wanted to mention was the Allstate tips from 1959.
Yes.
Tell us about this, because I think this is great.
I love this. Last week, a gentleman that I work with came into my office and like, would you like to see this or do you want it? And it was this fantastic little digest-sized book, just 96 pages, nice paper, glossy paper. And it was a book that Allstate sent out to its policyholders back in what I guess is 1959. And I'm guessing this from the drawing of the car on the cover. It's not a real car. It's one of those composite drawings of no particular brand.
Right.
But the book is fantastic.
See, I love how you open this up, though. How you open up the piece. Question, when was the last time your auto insurance company mailed you anything other than a bill?
Yes. Much less a charming little book.
You're right, exactly. So tell us more about the book, because I think it's great.
Yeah, the book is called Money Saving Facts for the Car Owner. And the cover is this fantastic drawing of a guy helping his kids get into his station wagon,
uh-huh.
A generic station wagon. And I picked a particular page called Hints from the Model Garage. And there are four hints here that apply to no one ever.
And they're also illustrated.
They're illustrated, and they're absolutely fabulous. But my favorite, included in here with just one paragraph and instructions, is how to wire your ashtray with a light so you can find your ashtray in the dark.
That's great.
And the other one that really, really made me laugh is the helpful hint that once you've added oil to your car, you should collect the remaining oil in the can by letting it drip into a container. And according to the text, once you've collected the oil from like 20 cans, you would have a full quart that you got for free.
So you just leave the can upside down tipped,
yes,
into a can, catching the little drips.
Yes. And my favorite part of that is 20 quarts. I hope even then no one needed 20 quarts of oil,
yeah,
in any reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. 20 to 25 cans, and then you only get one quart of oil out of that.
I am way too lazy for that.
Oh, man, that's crazy. That is crazy. So, I mean, the illustrations, you actually have, people can see the illustrations on the website.
Yeah, and I will be dipping back into this book for more at some later date.
Oh, good. Because
it's glorious.
Oh, I bet it is. I mean, what, you know, just this little taste that you gave us in this piece is fantastic.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's so well-intentioned, too. I mean,
this
is a great book.
Cool, very cool. All right, really quickly, you also wrote a piece about should I buy a used car from Enterprise. If you can answer that in, like, 2.5 minutes, that'd be great.
I absolutely can. Enterprise, like many car rental companies, has outlets where they sell some of their used vehicles directly to the public without sending them off to auction. And in the process of doing this, they save some money. And it seems to me, based on the sales I've seen locally and things that I've checked, that you can get some pretty great deals in an Enterprise if you are willing to accept a fairly limited selection of vehicles that are kind of high mileage for the model year.
Mm.
And if those things sound okay to you, the warranty that they offer and the prices that they offer are pretty compelling for someone looking for a decent used car. And because they are a rental company and they want to sell these cars later, they do take very good care of those cars. All the maintenance has been done. So I say consider it.
Okay, there you go. And you can read the full text at Consumer Guide, at the Consumer Guide blog, which is the Daily Drive blog, and check it out there. And also follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Are you working on anything in particular, Tom, right now?
I've got a couple car reviews that I have to get up later this week, but tomorrow we will have a cheap wheels feature from our sister publication, Collectible Automobile, and the Oldsmobile Aurora. So that goes up tomorrow.
Oldsmobile Aurora?
Oldsmobile Aurora, yeah.
Oh, wow. What kind, is that a good-looking car?
That was a great-looking sedan that just never quite caught the attention of important tenders that Oldsmobile was looking for.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was kind of a flop.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So we'll talk about that too. All right. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your 4th of July, Tom, and we will talk to you. We'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, and you have a great birthday.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
There's Tom Appel. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and contributor to their Daily Drive blog. Websites: consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. All right. We are going to take a break. The news is coming up next. And then right after the news, our good friend Lindsey Cochran is going to join us from Great Moments in Vinyl. They got two shows coming up, a tribute to Rolling Stones this Saturday and a tribute to Led Zeppelin next Friday. We'll give you all the details on that. And their website is greatmomentsinvinyl.com. And we will get to all that right after the news, which is coming up right after this.